Welcome to Indigenous Faith with Craig and LaDonna Smith. For the next 30 minutes, we invite you to join Craig and LaDonna as they open God's Word and help Indigenous followers of Jesus Christ learn how to live a biblically healthy life in the context of their culture and tribal traditions. Craig is a member of the White Earth Band of Ojibwe Indians from northern Minnesota and is an author, public speaker, and gospel singer. LaDonna is from the Navajo Nation from the American Southwest. She is also a gifted singer and writer and a deeply committed student of God's Word. Together, they have served Christ for over 4 decades in a ministry that has taken them to Indigenous people all across North America and to a dozen countries around the world. Once again, thank you for joining us today for this week's edition of Indigenous Faith. And now, get ready to take a journey with Craig and LaDonna into God's Word to see what He has to say about living out an Indigenous faith that helps us all live lives that please Him and gives us power for victorious Christian living.
Hello, bonjour, ya'at'eh, friends. This is LaDonna Smith. In last week's episode, Craig began to share our personal story by telling the history of our little home church. Today, he continues to tell the story of Cass Lake Alliance Church and the stories of other families that were impacted and equipped for further service in Christ's kingdom by being a part of this local body of believers. The key point is the importance of being connected to a local fellowship that without compromise teaches, preaches, and lives out the timeless truths of God's Word. Living a healthy Indigenous faith means we are faithfully serving in a Bible-believing local congregation. Please don't miss that important part of biblical living. So let's go back to the podium once again as Craig unpackages the story of our little home church.
As we are proclaiming the gospel to the other towns also, there's a new generation coming to faith in Christ. And perhaps it could very well be that generations that aren't even born yet are going to be benefiting from the faith that has been exposed to them through a godly heritage. Without that, you know what I have to look back on? Alcoholism, violence. Nothing good. But Jesus came into our family, and He's made a difference. Do you realize what we're about, guys? As we are a part of a church who has Christ's last command as its first concern, I thank God that we're still going to the other towns also. God raised up another family-based music ministry out of our little home church. It's a family called the Berge family. Now, they're not Native American. they're Norwegians. We've got a lot of Norwegians and Native Americans in our region. A lot of Uftas. If you're Norwegian, you know what I'm talking about. A lot of Lutefisk and Lefse. In fact, Ken Berge, the dad of the family, told me with tears running down his cheeks, I think, when I was talking to him a while back, he said, "For the first time in history because of COVID, the Aurdal Lutheran Church has had to cancel their annual November Lutefisk and Lefse feed." And they used to be asked to sing there, and he'd get all the Lutefisk and Lefse he wanted. I think zero Lutefisk would be enough for me, if you know what I'm talking about. I guess with COVID, you can't smell or taste anything. That's the time to eat Lutefisk, okay? You just need to know. But this wonderful family raised up side by side with us in this little home church. And when I mean little, I'm talking about a church that has probably never had membership over maybe 40 or 50 people. If we had 100 people in a congregation on a Sunday morning, my goodness, the congregational selfies would be going off all over the place. Look what we've got. We can squeeze them in. That's always been the size of this little church. But this family, their bluegrass harmonies have blessed and encouraged thousands, literally thousands throughout North America as well. Not long ago, the Berge family returned home from an extended music ministry trip to Scotland and the United Kingdom. International. two music families out of one little church whose ministries have literally gone. LaDonna and I still pinch ourselves as we find ourselves with my dad singing way out in the outback in Kalgoorlie, Australia, in the outback of Australia, ministering to the Aborigines and places like that. Just amazing opportunities. Now, for the past 14 years, the Berge family's influence in promoting and encouraging family-based ministry has grown through their annual Lake Itasca Family Music Festival. Every year, over the first full weekend in August, they usually have over 2,000 people attending this three-day event at the headwaters of the Mississippi River. Many of the attendees are not believers in Christ, but they show up regularly to enjoy the incredible family harmonies of many gifted family gospel music groups. LaDonna and I have been privileged to sing and preach at the festival there on a number of occasions. We are firsthand eyewitnesses of the power of the gospel in that annual festival experience. And think of it, there are families that come to this festival and they say, could we do something like that? And they have like anywhere from eight to ten headline national family music gospel groups that are on the main stage. But then they have side stages all over and groups that want to start and try it as families. And they get a huge crowd of people cheering them on and encouraging them. It's a wonderful experience. There's every Sunday morning of the festival, there's an annual old-time a cappella hymn sing in a barn where 2,000 people are gathered, and the acoustics in there as the harmonies ring out. Oh, my goodness. It's an old-fashioned hymn sing. Things like that that just are harkened back they're not bygone days. They're still meaningful to many, many people. But family groups have been birthed through that encouragement. So the impact of what started out of our little home church continues on as families are encouraging families to find ways of serving the Lord. That's something to celebrate. Our little home church was where many Native American students and Native Canadian, they call them First Nations people in Canada, are, and even to this day, discipled as they attend the nearby Mokum Indian Bible School, which is now called Mokum Ministry Center. Way back when it started, the Alliance had a vision to open a Bible school to train Native students. That vision became a reality. Why? Because a church was planted. And an area of ability for a church to disciple while they're being trained in ministry at a Bible school setting all came together on my home reservation. Interesting thing about it, you know, oftentimes missions is thought of as the big church, you know, giving money and supporting and doing all the projects for the little, the out of the other town also communities and church plants and missionary settings and so on. And often that's the way it is. And we encourage continued support for missions around the world of every church. One of the things that's unique about our little home church, because it was a Native church plant, but our community is multicultural. It's both Native and non-Native, primarily, like I said, the Norwegians, Swedes, Scandinavian folks seem to like cold weather. I'm a Chippewimp. I'm out of there. But they like it. They can have it. One of the neat things about this, way back when, we're talking back in the 1940s, a Native American family that came to Christ through this church donated the original 40 acres of land for this Native ministry training campus, which is still going on today. We were engaged in giving and going and praying. And that's an amazing, wonderful thing to see. Now, time doesn't allow me to share how God used many of these students in Native ministry, but if I could just highlight two for you, I'll be very quick. Back a generation ago, and this happens to be LaDonna's dad, Herman Williams, who is Navajo, and Tommy Francis, who is a Cree First Nations man from Canada, matured into wonderful Native ministry leaders. Through their training they received at Moka'am and the discipling they experienced through our little home church. In 1959, along with other Canadian Native leaders, Tommy Francis founded the Native Evangelical Fellowship of Canada, which is still a thriving nationwide Native church movement in Canada. Herman has had a remarkable legacy in the United States Alliance Native Ministry work. He stands out, the work God has used through Herman's life stands out as powerful. He did so many things well, including confronting the demonic world of animism head on. He has literally dealt with untold numbers of deliverance cases in his lifetime. He's confronted the powers of darkness. In our culture, it's a very real thing. Spiritism is overt. It's in your face. You see it, you hear it, you taste it, you touch it. It is evident, and many people come who are bound by the curses of the medicine men or whatever. They come, and they come to Herman. We've been in his home, LaDonna, many times as we visit my father-in-law, and probably there hasn't been a time we've been there where there's not been some who've come for deliverance. And God has used him in a powerful way. But it wasn't just Herman who had an amazing impact. Sometimes it's the quiet ones who God uses as well. LaDonna's mom, Fern, was a quiet, stay-at-home wife. She faithfully taught the little ones in Sunday school classes in the churches that they served in. Grandma Fern, Mama Fern, my mother-in-law, went home to be with the Lord a little under a year ago. It was right about this time a year ago when the Lord took her home to be with Herman and Tommy Francis and others. When news got out that she didn't have a lot of time left to live, many called us. They wanted to come see her. Many of the Navajos from up in northern Arizona, they wanted to come and just see Grandma Fern for one more time before the Lord took her home. One of the visitors was a young Navajo gal named Candace Ed. She wanted so much to see Grandma just one more time because soon she would be leaving, Candace would be leaving to return to Jakarta, Indonesia as another Native American who has gone into overseas missionary work. It isn't just the white man that goes as missionaries. We're going. Hallelujah. God can use us from our uniquenesses. And the thing of it is, as Candace was visiting and hugging on Grandma Fern, what a blessing it was for LaDonna and I to hear how Fern had so impacted Candace's life as a young child. It was then and there that she sensed a call of God to missionary work, and she fulfilled that call. She's faithful. She left our house with that visit with Fern to go right to the airport to get on a plane back to Indonesia. It's amazing. And both Herman and Fern spent a good number of years growing in their faith in our little home church. You know, there's a number of leaders for the larger body of Christ who cut their ministry teeth in our little home church as well, leaving an indelible impact on not just our Alliance ministry, but way beyond. Now, you may not have ever heard of most of these names. What I'm asking you to consider, though, is the collective impact those who have been a part of one small, insignificant Native American missionary church plant in this small, insignificant multicultural community have had, are having, and will continue to have in the generations that they represent. In the 1940s and 50s, Keith and Martha Bailey led Alliance Native work and pastored our little home church, training and disciple many Native and non-Native people along the way. From there, Dr. Bailey went on to serve in various regional and national Alliance leadership positions, including Vice President of Church Ministries of the CNMA, overseeing all the 2,000-some Alliance churches across the United States. He cut his ministry teeth among our people. He loved our people. In fact, remember Selim and Adeline, the WrestleMania folk? Adeline, this quiet lady, when Dr. Bailey first came to our res, he wanted to visit the families, introduce himself as the new missionary there. So he went to home after home, and he got to the Ross's home, knocked on the door. Selim wasn't there. Adeline was the only one home. Dr. Bailey was pretty good size back in those days when he was ministering among us. And to give you a little taste of Native humor, when Dr. Bailey knocked on the door and Adeline opened the door with kind of a startled look on her face, he said to her, "Adeline Ross, yes?" Says, "I'm Reverend Bailey. I'm the new missionary here. I'm just out introducing myself to the believers and the congregants. I just wanted to come say hi." And she goes, "Oh, okay." She sized him up and said, "Well, come on in. Have a couple of chairs." That's Indian humor for you. Dr. Bailey's influence was long-lasting and far-reaching, not only for our family, but in the global advance of the gospel. His diverse theological books have been widely regarded as clear and compelling doctrinal literary works, some of which continue to be required reading for anyone who wants to serve in the body of believers that we've been a part of all our years growing up in the Christian Missionary Alliance. Now, there were others who were part of our little home church also who had other larger spheres of influence and leadership. The missionary who helped disciple my grandparents, William Christie Jr., he was a missionary kid born and raised in China. William Christie was handicapped as a child. All he could do for his first 8 years is slide along the ground on his bum. That was the only way he could maneuver about. One day, as his mom was having a Bible study with Chinese women out in the backyard, and Christie was sliding along out in the yard, he was over on the other end of the backyard and looking at the ladies over there, at the age of eight years old, something happened to William Christie. God came into that backyard in a powerful way and brought strength to this boy's life. He got up on his feet and he walked for the very first time. God gave him healing. It wasn't a complete healing. He still stumbled a bit. He had challenges. But he was now mobile. And when he came to our reservation in the wintertime, you know, 5-10 foot snowbanks, snowdrifts all around. Getting around is not easy when you got good feet, let alone for somebody like William Christie. So he devised a plan as he would come to disciple my grandparents at their home. He took his much-loved Bible and he would put it in a Wonder Bread wrapper. You know the old Wonder Bread? Tied it up and tucked it under and made his way. And inevitably, at the appointed time that he was coming for his Bible studies with Grandma and Grandpa, Grandpa would be out there looking out the window, because inevitably Christie would kind of slip and slide on his way up the path. And numerous times I guess you can't say he bit the dust, because it isn't dust, he bit the drift. He went head first into a snowbank. And many a time my grandpa would go out in that walkway and pick Christie up, carry him in, set him down at the kitchen table, and big smile on William Christie's face, and he'd open the Wonder Bread and pull out his Bible and he'd disciple my grandparents, and they would sing together around the table. They would minister. He would be ministering, encouraging them. What an amazing man William Christie was to come and serve among us. But you know what? His desire was to be an international overseas missionary, but because of his health condition, though he was healed and could walk, yet his handicap limited him from being accepted as an international worker in the Christian Missionary Alliance. But they made an exception. And for the next 30 years, William Christie taught at the Ebenezer Bible College in Manila, the Philippines. He was in the Philippines for over three decades. But he went there not without great cost. During World War II, as the Japanese forces were invading and making their way into the mountains or into the Philippines, Christie, along with other Alliance missionaries, had to go into hiding. Catch this, for a year and a half, they were in hiding, avoiding the Japanese forces. Eventually, William Christie Jr., along with 25 other Alliance missionaries, were captured and were taken as prisoners of war for another 2 years. Christie summarizes his life of service by saying this: "Now, after 30 years of teaching the Word of God in the Philippines, I rejoice that God has seen fit to give me, a poor cripple, a place in His vineyard of service." That's what stood out to him. Not grumbling and complaining for hiding in the jungles, hiding in the mountains, imprisoned as a prisoner of war for 2 years. None of that. Praise God, he could use this poor cripple. Hey, that's a giant. That's a giant of faith. Another couple, Dick and Louise Colenso, were part of our little home church as well. Until Dick moved on, he was asked to serve at our national office to lead the ever-expanding intercultural ministries of the Alliance in the United States in the mid-1970s. Right around then, Vietnam fell, right in 1975. Some of you remember the fall of Vietnam in 75. What happened then, there was an influx, a huge influx of Southeast Asian refugees that came to our country, came to our shores. Many of the refugees coming were believers. They were from Alliance churches in Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia, Thailand, and this huge influx. And since then, under Dick Colenso's leadership, these Southeast Asian refugees have seen many Alliance churches planted. This is just one Vietnamese church in the United States among the refugees. Many more like that, thanks to the vision, the faith, and the leadership of Dick Colenso. Think of that. Is that enough? No. From there, Dick became the executive vice president for the Louis Palau Evangelistic Association, Latin America. Louis Palau, one of the great noted evangelists, Latin evangelists. Dick Colenso ran their whole organization as Louis traveled all over the world holding his crusades like this. Dick ran the machinery of the Louis Palau organization. Also, the same thing he did with a relief and development agency called World Concern. Another couple, Dan and Iris Wetzel, still look back on their time in our little home church. Some of the best days of their faithful ministry service. God used Dan strategically in the development of an alternative education system, which is still being implemented around the world to train indigenous people for ministry. Dan served in other pastorates, district leadership, and also like Dr. Bailey as vice president for church ministries with great distinction. He followed the same ministry trail Dr. Bailey did. Seems like when you come out of Cass Lake, that's what kind of happens, I guess. I don't know. I don't know if it's the water or the winter. Hardens you, makes you strong, I guess. And that's the case here. This dear brother Dan currently serves as one of the members on our board of directors for Tribal Rescue Ministries, and he offers his leadership to us on an ongoing basis, and we appreciate them so much. You know, it wasn't just Native ministry that was impacted by men of God like Floyd Pollock, Bailey, Wetzel, Christie, others during their time at our little home church. God raised up from within our midst international missionary workers to go out and serve the Lord as well. Sue Glidden was a part of our youth group, LaDonna and my youth group growing up. She felt God's call to missions and went on to serve for many years with Wycliffe Bible Translators in the region of Africa. She faithfully served and rose to leadership there. When she retired and came home recently, and even after coming home, Sue's heart for service continued strong as she returned to serve in our community's Leech Lake Tribal College as a professor and now serves as dean of Oak Hills Christian College nearby.
Well, my friends, that's all the time we have today for part two of this message. We trust that you are being encouraged by it. It's hard not to be moved by how the Lord has seen fit to use one little native church plant to raise up and equip many ministers, missionaries, and yes, musicianaries to impact the world in its over 90-year history. You will not want to miss next week's final episode, the conclusion of To the Other Towns Also. You'll hear a most remarkable, amazing story of martyrdom that is deeply connected to our little home church.
That's right. It's an exciting story. And for LaDonna and me, how can we not be inspired to be faithful through deep pain and suffering when we have seen modeled some incredible faith from many of our predecessors that are connected to our little home church? Whatever you do, don't miss next week's exciting conclusion of To the Other Towns Also. So until next time, LaDonna and I want to thank you for joining us on the Indigenous Faith broadcast.
Thank you for joining Craig and LaDonna Smith and the Indigenous Faith Podcast. We trust today's episode has been an encouragement to you and helpful to you as you grow in faith as a follower of Jesus Christ. You can subscribe to this weekly broadcast and receive notifications when the next episodes are available. Simply follow the prompts on the TribalRescue.com website or the podcast platform you're using to sign up today. Don't forget to visit the Smiths' website, tribalrescue.com, to learn more about the Smiths and Tribal Rescue Ministries. Be sure to visit their online store, where you can find more Indigenous faith resources, including Craig's 6-part DVD video series, and his 6-part audio CD version of the same teaching. Also, Craig takes you deeper into the scriptures in his recently released Indigenous Faith paperback book, which will help you learn the secrets to a strong Indigenous faith. All these resources, and other great books authored by Craig and LaDonna, can be accessed at their online store when you visit tribalrescue.com. The Smiths are dependent on the financial support of those who are benefiting from their teaching, preaching, and music ministry. Craig and LaDonna would like to ask you to consider supporting this ministry through your online giving, which you can easily and safely do on the tribalrescue.com website as well. You can also make your gift recurring if you so desire. If you'd like to support Craig and LaDonna, it will help them keep this podcast on the air, help them produce more books and resources, and enable them to continue sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ among people groups around the world. We'll see you next week, dear friends, on another edition of the Indigenous Faith Podcast. Until then, may the Lord richly bless you as you live out your own God-honoring and biblically based Indigenous faith.